It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles,
and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, and I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. And today, as always, I'm so happy to be here on this beautiful Saturday afternoon to be the managing partner of your life. Now, I'm going to introduce Kerry Kasem, and you're going to tell everyone why the heck I sound so far away.
You do sound far away, but you're at the Kings game, or it's a Kings game, but you're watching your kid play hockey. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, I wish I could be in studio with you. I know we have such a great show today. I wish I could be there. But sometimes things like this just take precedence. My son Hudson is playing hockey at the Kings game between first and second period. So it's really exciting. We're all excited. It hasn't happened yet, but we're getting ready for the little guy to be skating on the ice in front of 15,000 people.
And
so that's why I can't be in studio.
You can't see it, but Wayman and Debbie and everybody in here are like clapping. They're like very happy. It's a dad thing. I'm glad. You know, in 5 years, I've never seen you do this. 5 years or more, I've never seen you do this. So, you know what?
You what? I mean, Hudson's only 6 years old, so
no!
How could I have done it? He couldn't do it when he was 1 year old, even though I would have loved for him to do it.
You're ridiculous.
You
never ever not actually sit at the helm where I'm at right now, which is kind of nice. I'm glad you are.
And I think you can take control. I want you to take control because I'm going to listen. And it sounds like we're just talking. Kerry and I, we love talking to each other, but sometimes we don't realize that, like today, we're on the air.
We are talking.
Everyone's listening to our conversation.
We are. But today is definitely a day that is special. I'll tell you why. I watched a film last week. It's called The Sentence. And I cannot tell you, I was cheering, I was crying, I was upset, I was angry, I was happy. This thing really took me through, I mean, just every emotion that I had. And it tells the story of a woman who she's a mother of three, and she received a 15-year mandatory sentence for conspiracy charges, meaning she kind of knew what was going on with her boyfriend dealing drugs. She didn't deal the drugs, she just knew. They throw her in jail for 15 years, years after the fact, and her brother, Rudy Valdez, decided to pick up a camera and document the whole thing. I mean, this stemmed a decade or more. You know, this went on and on and on. And it tells the story of how mandatory sentences and mandatory sentencing really can destroy people and destroy families. And so we have Rudy on the phone with us today. Rudy, are you there?
I am here. And speaking of dad roles, I'm actually at home alone with my 3-year-old right now. If you hear somebody saying something in the background, my wife is actually on a business trip right now, which is actually very rare. So it like all the timing of everything. But if you hear somebody in the background ask for an apple or a snack, it's probably her.
Oh, that's precious.
That's so funny, Rudy. I have my 4 and 5-year-old here. So maybe your kid and my kids can chat while we're talking about other stuff.
Right.
But I'll tell you, Kerry, I really agree with you. The film is really incredible. And, I watched it with my wife, Nancy, and there were tears in her eyes. And she was just thinking about how this could happen and what she would do. I mean, Rudy, your sister is just amazing that she was able to get through this horrible, horrible experience and be so motivating with her kids. She was actually mothering her kids from prison, something that most mothers can't even fathom.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when I talk about the film, you know, one of the things I do try to make clear early on, you know, is this isn't a film about, you know, my sister's innocence by any means. You know, she was certainly found guilty by a jury, and we accepted that. You know, she had knowledge, and she made some poor choices. You know, one of the things I try to say about the film is one of the things that really motivated me to make it was that 5-year span in between, you know, the events taking place where her ex was murdered and them eventually coming and indicting her. You know, had Cindy been put away right after he was murdered like you know, so many other people were. The fight, right. I probably would have still fought for my sister, but it would have been a much different fight. You know, the reason that I fought and the reason that I picked up a camera and the reason why I wanted to tell the story was because, you know, I was able in those 5 years to witness my sister really turn her life around and see the person that she had the potential to become. And, you know, lo and behold, she had a couple of kids. She got married. She was actually pregnant with her third when the federal government came knocking nearly 5 years later. And then it was another year before they actually sentenced her to 15 years when her youngest daughter was 6 weeks old. And I just remember thinking, you know, yes, my sister's guilty. We don't deny that. But there has to be a better way. There has to be a better way to approach sentences like this because, you know, in my mind, the idea of our prison system, of our judicial system, is to rehabilitate and to get people back on the streets, if they're eventually going to be back on the streets, to make them ready to be back on the streets and allow them to become contributing members of society again. And here was my sister who had already proven that she had done that. And again, not that she didn't deserve some punishment, but she certainly didn't deserve the punishment that she was given.
You know, 15 years for conspiracy charges related to her deceased ex-boyfriend's crimes sounds like a crime itself. It doesn't fit. And when I watched this, I mean, she was a completely changed person. She was a mother. She was a wife. She was raising children. She was doing what was right. And conspiracy charges, meaning basically, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is she knew what was going on and she didn't say anything.
Yeah, I mean, she knew what was going on. She was certainly living in the house with him. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say my sister was a saint. She made poor choices, but she certainly wasn't the kingpin. You know what I mean?
Right.
She certainly wasn't the drug dealer.
And
Rudy, what was your reaction when she was sentenced? Because I think there was a lot of shock thinking that it would be such a long sentence. That's what we're talking about, the minimum, maximum minimum, when it's just so out of whack for what we would think the crime was. Admitting that, okay, maybe there was a crime, but your family and you must have just been floored
well,
by,
you know,
this law.
Going into this, we'd obviously never done anything like this before. We'd never been through a case like this before. So we had heard throughout the process that there was the potential of these mandatory minimums and all these things. And but for some reason, and I think it was, you know, us being a bit naive about the process, I think we always thought there has to be some other way. There has to be some loophole. There has to be something to take into account what she's been able to do with her life in the meantime. You know, and again, it was never she should be let off scot-free ever. You know, it was never that, but it was just we wanted a punishment that fit not only the crime, but the person, you know, and the circumstances. But yeah, when she was given the 15 years, it was certainly a shock and it was certainly life altering. And, you know, we just sort of did the best we could with it.
There was a scene where your dad was picking up, and this isn't giving anything away, but picking up scrap metal. And mm-hmm. you saw him crying and talking about why he does this. And it was, people would leave scrap metal out and he would go get it. And he felt it was kind of like a present from God or something that he was given that he could go and make money with so he could send Cindy every month. And
yeah.
He had a hard time dealing with it. Was he the one in your family that just couldn't go see her and couldn't, it was just too emotional for him? What was that block there?
Yeah, I mean, he went and collected that metal because he knew the most important thing to Cindy was the connection to her daughters, and her conduit to that, especially when she was moved farther away, were those phone calls. And, you know, when you're serving a federal sentence, you're given 300 minutes a month max in 15-minute increments. And I forget the amount of money per call, but it's something ridiculous, like $2 or $3 or $4 a call. Something like that, and, you know, and that's a lot of money when, you know, you come from when you come from none. So and you don't really make any money. She, you know, she was in working prisons, and you get like 28 cents an hour or something crazy like that. So his way of sort of dealing and helping was to collect that metal, and then even on the other side of potentially going to see her, I think he. did at times want to go and see her, but he also felt if he had the money to travel, he would rather give that money so that the girls could travel to go and see Cindy. And he would say oftentimes, you know, I don't want to see her that way. You know, he wanted to remember her, you know, free, not in this environment. So it was very difficult for him. And, you know, that was sort of his actionable item that he would do every single day to try and be a part of helping her maintain that connection to the girls.
This really affected every single person in your family pretty hard. And to see a family that close, you know, as we were not that close, my family, and I don't know, Alan, if you were, but I know that you're so, Alan is extremely close to his mom. I mean, it's this incredible bond. And when you see it, you know it's there. But my family got closer as we got older. Were you always that close? Because it's amazing to watch that.
Yeah, I mean, we've all, you know, we have our moments, of course. We're not always, you know, completely close. I think what you're witnessing in the film, I mean, we certainly are a close family, but what you're witnessing in the film is sort of this rallying around those girls. You know, I think everyone sort of, Adam the most, you know, Adam was the sort of center of it all, the girl's father. You know, everyone realized that there needed to be a connection between Cindy and those girls. And we all sort of tried to figure out a way that we could have our own little roles in doing that. And what you're seeing is that is the rallying of family members doing what they could to try and participate in that process. So, you know, everyone had hope, everyone missed her, and everyone, you know, wanted her home. But, you know, I think the core of it all were those girls.
We have to take a quick break. When we come back, I have questions about Cindy's husband, or shall I say ex-husband. You're listening to Gervie's Law with Alan Gervie. I'm Carrie Kasem. We'll be right back.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-445-6363. That's 800-445-6363. 800-445-6363. Or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-445-6363. That's 800-445-6363. 800-445-6363. Or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Yeah, these are sweet dreams, but apparently sometimes things happen in life and the dreams aren't very sweet. And we're talking right now about The Sentence. It's a great film. Carrie, I'm still here at the Staples Center. I'm doing a live remote for a change.
Yes.
Hudson's getting ready to do his hockey. I don't know how much longer I can stay with you, but I'm going to try as long as I can, playing at the Kings game, which is pretty cool for a six-year-old. But, you know, it's tough when you have kids and you're taken away from your kids. It is such a difficult thing. And Rudy, I just, you know, I know Carrie had some questions that she wanted to ask. We have so many questions, but the one that's really burning as I sit here listening to you is, how did you get the idea to film this? And, you know, it's such a long road. You've had a really great career as a filmmaker, very talented, but to do it for your family in such a personal way with your nieces, it's really, really admirable. And I'm sure was fraught with a lot of problems.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is I wasn't a filmmaker when I started this film. I actually became a filmmaker in order to make this film. This film started as me just wanting to capture moments in the girls' lives so that Cindy could one day watch them. You know, I just wanted her to be, you know, she was going to have pictures and she was going to have phone calls, but I wanted her to be able to watch them run and play and grow and hopefully see pivotal moments. You know, I happened to be back one time filming with the girls, with Autumn going to her first dance recital, you know, the first scene in the film. And Cindy calls, and completely unexpectedly, and I just continue rolling on it. And you hear that line. She says, you know what mommy's going to do while you go to dance? I'm going to lay down in my bed. I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to think about you. It was that moment that I became a filmmaker. It was that moment that I decided that this was going to be a film, because I realized I had an opportunity to tell a different side of the story, a side that you don't get to hear when you read the headlines of people being sent away. You know, this film in so many ways isn't about my sister, and it's not even really about the girls. They're emblematic of thousands of other kids who have parents incarcerated or loved ones incarcerated. I saw the look on my niece's face as Cindy was telling her these things, and I knew I had to tell the story. You know, that there are so many children going through this, and we're not taking that into consideration when we're looking at sentencing and looking at our criminal justice system, the effects, the ripple effects that these sentences have.
You know, the thing about you not being a filmmaker, I think, is what drew me right into the film and what put me right into the middle of your family. I felt I was there. It felt so real. It wasn't these camera tricks. It wasn't certain angles. You weren't worried about that or the lighting or this. You just were there. And it completely came through the screen. I felt as if I was there with you. And when you turn the camera around and the girls interview you, and these little faces are talking, it affected me. I didn't think I would be this affected by, and we're talking about The Sentence on HBO, and we're talking to Rudy Valdez. I was so affected by this film. I still think about it and get tears in my eyes. The kids and how they felt about their mom. But one thing, I'm sure you left this out for a reason, and I'm sure it's because that you wanted to focus on Cindy and the kids and the minimum mandatory sentencing or mandatory minimum sentencing. But you kind of left out when Cindy and her husband got divorced. We didn't know anything about him anymore. I mean, he did come. You did show that he took care of his girls. But what happened to him? Was he remarried? What happened?
Yeah, so I don't really go into it, but he eventually did remarry. And, you know, subsequently that marriage didn't last either. But, you know, in a way, I didn't feel like it was fair to tell that part of his story, because it, you know, it didn't push the narrative forward of what I was focusing on, which was the girls. You know,
right.
I think what I showed with him sort of being absent in front of the camera was that that was a ramification and a ripple effect of this sentence. You know, he's an amazing man. And he, you know, I say this all the time when people bring him up, I could not have made this film or fought for Cindy if it weren't for him. Literally, this film would not have been made. You know, he's my brother. He'll always be my brother. And, you know, he took care of the
world. Was he reluctant at certain points? You know, he seems like a great guy, but, you know, it's a lot that you guys went through, and with the divorce and everything, it almost seems at certain points that he kind of wanted it more for the kids than for himself.
Yeah, I mean, the core of everything, you know, in this film was for the kids. And, you know, was he reluctant? I don't know if he was. He may have been reluctant, but I think he also realized, you know, the reason why the film was being made. You know, it was for a greater good. It's what I promised him and what I promised the rest of the family. You know, that if you're open and honest and vulnerable, you know, this doesn't have to be something that ends up being a tragedy for our family. We can make something good out of it. I promised him that I would try and make something good out of it. And I think he saw the larger picture in the sense that, yes, his children were really going through something and he was going through something, but we had an opportunity to share the story so that maybe somebody else doesn't have to. You know, and I think, you know, in his heart of hearts, he knew that that was the right thing to do, as difficult as it was. And he, you know, he's an amazing man.
Rudy, question about the kids and question about the family.
Mm-hmm.
Are they resentful that mommy wasn't there, even though it wasn't her fault, even though she, you know, this is not in fault, maybe the long prison sentence?
Yeah, you know, I don't see any resentment right now, to be honest with you, towards Cindy. But, you know, people often ask how Cindy and the girls are doing. And I say, you know, they're doing well right now. But in all honesty, we don't know how they're doing. You know, we're not going to know for many years. Right. I think the ramifications of this sentence and the long lasting effects are yet to be seen. I think, you know, as the girls enter into adulthood and you know, are navigating their own systems and their own relationships, you know, I think that is when we'll see if any of this sort of peaks its head back up again, you know, as they become adult. And, you know, right now they're being loved and they're being supported and we're talking to them as much as possible and trying to be cognizant about issues that they may have down the line. But, you know, we don't really know yet. But as of right now, there doesn't seem to be any resentment. There seems to be a lot of not looking backwards, a lot of just trying to create new memories and new traditions. So, you know, that's where we are right now.
Have you had to sit down and explain to them that, hey, they're going to get recognized? People are going to come up to them like they know them?
Yeah, I mean, I've been talking with them about it for some time now, just about this entire process, and for a lot of reasons. You know, I of course want to protect those girls. You know, I think that there are always going to be cynical people. There are always going to be people who want to tear something down, and I tell them, you know, we should be very proud how we came out on the other end. And then the other thing I talk to them about is why the film was made, that it was made, you know, again, for the greater good and for the opportunity to help other kids who'd gone through what they'd gone through. And I tell them, you know, you can be as big or as little a part of that in the future as you want. You know, I've never told them that they have to go on a panel, they have to share their story, they have to do any of that. But I have told them, if you want to do that, we will figure out a healthy way for that to happen. And, you know, I just want them to, you know, understand that they have a PhD in something that you can't go to school for. You know what I mean? Like they've experienced something that can help other people and can make a difference. And, you know, the one who's actually really taking that to heart now is Autumn.
Yeah.
You know, she, I think she has a little bit of a fire lit in her. And, you know, at the beginning, I reminded her, you know, you don't have to do any panels, you don't have to do anything. And at the beginning, she said, okay, good, I don't want to do them. And I said, that's completely fine. I said, you don't have to. And then a couple months later, she, you know, we spoke about it again. She brought it up to me and she said, well, what would they ask me? And I said, you know, and she said, and what would I say? And I said, you know what, Autumn, you don't have to worry about what they would ask you. You don't have to worry about what you have to say, because you're not a lawyer. You're not a politician. You simply have this experience. What I would want you to do if you were on a panel is listen to the question and answer with your heart.
Right.
Because nobody can deny your experience. And I asked her, I was like, if you could just say something, what would you want to say? And she said, well, Ava and Anna had a different experience than I did. They were too young to really remember mommy being home. You know, and she said, I was old enough to remember what it was like having mom home. And she said, more importantly, I was old enough to remember what it was like to have mommy not be home.
Right.
And she said, I don't ever want another kid to feel that pain.
Wow.
You know,
and I mean, great advice. I mean, while you talk about learning something that just can't be taught in school and having a unique experience, I just wanted to ask you, Rudy, about the clemency, because, you know, it's a central theme in the film, even though it's not explored in a legal way, because the film is so touching that I think it would take away, if you take something away from it, if you really got into the legalities of clemency. But what did you learn from the plight of trying to get your sister home?
I learned that nobody really knows how to do it. I learned that it's a system that is not transparent whatsoever. You know, I couldn't tell you right now. There have been a lot of people who've come up to me since the film has come out or who have watched the film and have basically said, what do I do? How do I do that? And I tell them, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know what it was that put Cindy over the edge. I don't know what it was that allowed her to be granted clemency. I don't know any of those things. I tell them the only thing that I know, the only actionable item that I know that I did that may or may not have had any impact, I took a page out of the Political Handbook 101 and I used name recognition. You know, I as soon as I figured out Cindy's sentence wasn't a mistake and she was going to be doing 15 years, I started going to, I started looking online and looking at all the options, and I saw that there are, you know, options for appeals, and then once you've exhausted all of your appeals, way down the line, you get this opportunity to send in a petition for clemency or commutation. And I thought, okay, I need to prepare for that down the line in case none of these appeals happen. So I started going to DC and speaking whenever they would let me speak. I went to many rallies and protests, and anytime anyone would talk to me, I would say Cindy's full name, Cynthia Shank. And I would tell her story, and I would always say her name in the hopes that one day, if I said it enough times, enough people would know her name, that her petition would go across somebody's desk and they would at the very least recognize her name and read her petition. If that happened, I knew she had a chance. That's the only thing that I did that I can say was anything over the top.
We have to take a break. Rudy, can you stay with us for a little levity, something fun in the next half hour? Would that
I love
be okay?
Levity.
Okay, good. Coming up, we have world-renowned mentalist Larry Soffer. Alan, you're staying, right? Is your kid on the ice yet? Is Alan gone?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, maybe he's already gone. This is Gervie's Law. We'll be right back.
Hey, ABC News, live and local at 2:30. I'm Rob Marinko. A man in Long Beach suffering from a stab wound to the chest was taken to a hospital, and a suspect, possibly somebody he knew, was arrested in connection with the attack that took place around 10:30 last night on Cherry Avenue. USC officials have agreed in principle to a $215 million class action settlement with women who claim they were sexually abused by Dr. George Tyndall, the former campus gynecologist. And there were no tickets sold with all six numbers in the latest drawing of the multi-state Mega Millions lottery. And the estimated jackpot for Tuesday's drawing will grow to $1.6 billion. That's the largest jackpot in U.S. lottery history. KBC Sports, the Dodgers and Brewers playing this afternoon in Milwaukee to determine which team goes to the World Series to play the Red Sox. KBC weather, more sunshine, warm temps, gusty winds with highs in the 80s and 90s. It is 90 in Porter Ranch and 88 in downtown L.A.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Hey, Ben Shapiro here. In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone at any time. When it's your time, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? You need to be trained. And through KBC's personal relationship with Dr. Ignatius Piazza of Front Sight Firearm Training Institute, we've arranged for you and your family to train there too, free of charge while training slots last. Go to frontsight.com/Ben to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course absolutely free of charge with no hidden surprises or catches. Enter frontsight.com/Ben. That's frontsight.com/Ben.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money. Oh, easy to learn, easy to use, small business.
the software tailored just for you. With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, giving you a new perspective to enrich your life. Now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Yeah, I'm still here, Carrie. You thought you'd gotten rid of me. I know you were calling for me.
And
I was calling for you. I unfortunately pressed the mute button by mistake. I was just getting, you know, Hudson getting his equipment on here, getting ready to face 15,000 screaming Kings fans in between periods. And then I heard levity, and I went, oh, forget about the skating right now. I'm playing hockey. We got some levity coming up. I'm ready for the levity.
levity. Well, that's great. We have in studio with us world-renowned mentalist Larry Soffer, a friend of mine. He's in from South Africa with his beautiful wife, Sinette. They're staying with me, and we have had some major network meetings. I mean, this man is unbelievable. Rudy Valdez, who made the sentence for HBO. You're still on the phone, right?
I am.
Yes. Yes. So we're going
to
do...
Carrie, before we go on, we need to tell people how they can watch The Sense.
We've been talking about it
for the last half hour. People need to watch this.
I've said it was on HBO a couple times. But yes, if you go to HBO, and then it depends on whether you have HBO Go or HBO Now, you can just watch it right there. Go to documentaries. It's The Sentence, and it's absolutely phenomenal. I'm thinking it's going to be up for many awards. There's nothing out there that's quite like it. So that's Rudy Valdez, The Sentence on HBO. There you go. Is there anything else? Did I forget anything, Rudy?
No, that's great.
Bingo.
Thank you.
Okay, so Larry Soffer's here. Hi, Larry.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I've been on the show, almost 5 years now, Alan, and you've never been out of the studio ever.
Well, I think it just means that Alan has to be back another time when I'm here.
Yes, this is ridiculous.
Yes, I do, and I'm getting afraid because I think Larry's reading my mind right now, and I don't want him to repeat what I'm thinking.
Well, Alan, we can do something with you right off the bat, if you like. In fact, I'll do something here in studio, and you don't have to do much, but think a little. So I'm going to have a look into the future, and I'm going to try and perceive a number between 1 and 100 that you're going to think of before you think it. How does that sound?
Fine.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so we're filming this here in studio, so if you go to our Facebook page or Instagram, we will put this up so people can see that you're actually doing this. Plus, there's 4 people in the studio right now watching this.
Exactly. So Alan, I'm a mentalist. I read minds, I predict the future, I bend metal, I do weird and wonderful things, and you're going to get to experience some of that right now. In fact, like I said, I'm going to have a look into the future, and I'm going to try and perceive a number between 1 and 100 that you're going to think of before you think it. So don't think of anything just yet. I know it's difficult, but try not to. And Debbie's sitting right here next to me, and she's going to bear witness to this as well as Carrie. So here we go. You can tell them what you see.
He's holding a pen up, and he is looking at it.
Okay, I got something. I was having a little peek into the future here, Alan. I think this is the number that you're about to choose. I'm going to write this down on this card over here. And Debbie, you can keep me honest. You can hold on to that marker over there.
Okay.
And Alan, you can go ahead. Choose any number you like between 1 and 100. You can change your mind as many times as you like.
I've got the number.
You got the number. You can say it out loud.
I'm very decisive.
Okay,
you ready
great.
For it?
Yeah, we're just going to make sure that Debbie's mic is on because she's going to tell you if this is correct or not. In fact, we'll use both Debbie and Carrie, okay?
Okay.
So here we go. You can say it out loud.
8, the number 8.
Is there any reason why you chose 8?
Yes, it's my son's number on his hockey jersey.
I knew it.
Wow.
He had it written down.
What does it say?
Amazing.
What does it say?
It says 8.
You will choose 8, right?
No.
And you can
way.
Send a picture of that. And Alan, you can see this after the show.
Yeah, we're filming this,
no
so you can see
way.
That.
That's crazy.
Yes.
It's crazy. I'm not there. I'm at the Staples Center looking at my son's jersey number 8, and there's no way anyone can see what I'm doing right now.
No.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I even had a dream about you. And in my dream, you chose a card, and I saw which card you chose. This morning, I actually turned that card upside down in this pack. So if you had to think of a card right now, and I had to match the card that's upside down inside this pack, that would be crazy, right?
It would be.
What card would you think of?
I would think of the Ace of Spades.
It's so weird. Look, underneath the top card of you, and Debbie, you can verify this, there's one card that's turned face down, right?
Right.
And that's the one card that's turned face down in an entirely face-up pack. Is that right?
Exactly.
I don't want to touch anything. Take out that card. Tell Alan,
okay.
What is that card? What is it?
It's the ace.
Ace of spades?
It sure is.
No way.
Amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so to see this, remember, go to our social
Larry,
media.
I need you in my legal practice. I need you to figure out what the other side is saying and thinking when I'm trying to negotiate settlement.
We all need him.
Yes.
So, yeah, would you like to see a little bit more?
Yeah, well, Rudy's on the phone. Can you do something with Rudy?
I can. Can we do something with Debbie actually, and then we'll take it to...
Go ahead. I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm actually thinking of the Mega Million.
I get asked awesome. That all over the world.
That's amazing.
So why don't we build this up a little bit, Carrie? Why don't we start off with Debbie over here? I know you've seen quite a few of the things that I do, and I'm going to make a little bit different today. But, you know, people ask me these abilities, do I go and gamble, right?
Right.
And I do, and sometimes I win, and sometimes the casino loses. So I went to a casino one day, and I got one of these gift dice. It's actually just a little box made into a dice. You can put your finger inside, Debbie.
Right.
Just a little box, right?
Okay.
You're going to choose a number. Whatever number you choose, let it face up, and then cover your hand over it. So if you want to peek at it, you can still peek at it, but you don't have to if you don't want to. You can just cover your hand right over it.
And I can't see this, by the way. There's all these screens in front of me blocking this, so I'm not going to give him any signals.
Yeah, seeing that Carrie and I are friends, yeah. You don't want her. You don't want to think that she's cheating with me in some way or the other, so you don't have to let Carrie see.
Does the number I choose have to be on the top?
Yes, please, if you could do that. So I want to show you all numbers. You could choose number one like that. Let's say you can lift up your hands. Okay, that's number five that you chose. That's
correct.
Okay. If you chose number four, you do that. 2, 3, 1, 6, and so
gotcha.
On, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've shown you all numbers so you know that I'm not influencing your thoughts in any way, okay?
Okay.
I'll turn away and you tell me when you have a number.
Okay. Got it.
You got a number?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is so interesting. I think initially you wanted to go for number three and then you changed your mind to number one.
Mm.
Is that right? Do you have number one there?
Yes? Number one.
So we'll do it again. You've got numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. Change your mind as many times as you like.
Okay.
I can't see this, but I know Debbie's rolling the dice back and forth.
I am.
Don't choose it by chance. Choose it by choice.
I did. Okay.
You got something?
I sure did.
Okay. For a moment, I'm getting that... Did four pass through your mind just for a moment? Not for a moment? Okay, but I did get that you wanted to try and trick me and stay with the same number. So you say stayed with number one? Is that right?
I did.
There you go.
So
this is a little bit of a warm-up. And you know what? Okay. You can change your mind as many times as you like on this.
Well, it's a woman's prerogative.
How about we make this a little bit more complicated?
Okay.
Should we do that?
Sure.
So I want you to think of anybody or anything in your life. Do that now.
Okay.
And just so everybody knows, we haven't met before. I haven't told you what to think of. You haven't told me what you're going to think of right now. And nothing's written down anyway.
Right.
Okay. But you have a lot of thoughts going through your head, especially after what you've just experienced, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
So I want you to think of somebody or something in your life. Do that now.
Got it.
Okay, good. I want you to change your mind.
Okay. Got it.
Good. Change your mind again.
Okay.
Good. I know it's getting a little bit difficult now, but change your mind again. But this time commit to a thought. Okay, good. I'm getting that you wanted to think of somebody younger. Was that your youngest son? And
initially?
Then you changed your mind initially. And right now, just put your hand on top of mine.
Which one?
Any hand that you like, that's fine.
Okay.
And just look at me. Okay, I'm getting that you're thinking of your oldest son. Is that right?
Right.
In fact, I'm getting that he's about to have a birthday. Is he turning like 36 or something? Is that right?
35.
Is he turning 35?
Wow. Yes.
He's turning 35. Is that... October?
Yes.
Yes. In fact, my birthday is on the 25th of October. He's right about that period. Is that right?
Halloween.
Okay, good. Okay, great. So I'm getting a lot of information from you. I'm getting that he's quite a creative guy. I'm getting that he's also a very sociable kind of character, very excitable, very confident kind of character.
Yeah.
In fact, he's very... very decisive in what he wants, and he's really a go-getter. He goes out and he gets it. If I could get your son's name, this would be insane, right?
It would be.
I don't even know her son. Alan, do you know her son's name?
It would be insane.
Her oldest son's name?
Don't say it if you
okay,
do.
Okay, I don't know your...
Do I?
Yeah. Don't say it.
I'm not going to say it.
Okay, you do know it?
Okay, I don't.
So I want you to imagine your son over here in your mind.
Okay.
Okay, just here next to me.
Gotcha.
And I want you to say hello to him in your mind. Never say anything out loud. Just in your mind, you're going to say hello and say his name. Never move your lips. Just say it in your mind. Never anything out loud. You ready? So you'd say hello, Anthony.
Yeah.
Oh, oh my God.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Oh my God.
No, look, we can take this.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's crazy stuff, right? You didn't tell me. You didn't tell anybody else.
He just read her mind. I've wow. seen him do it before. It blows me away every single time. I can't believe it.
Now, can we take this a little bit further? Can we actually do something with Rudy?
Sure. Rudy, you up for it?
Oh, my goodness. do you want to get in this mind? I don't know if you want to play in this mind.
I think it might be quite kind of exciting, especially over the phone, Rudy. And don't worry, I won't mention any of the unbecoming thoughts.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Yeah. So, Rudy, I want you to think of something in anything you like. You know what? Why don't you think of like a celebrity?
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I'm getting something. Can you change your mind? Change your mind to something else. Can you change your mind to like maybe a musician or something like that? Maybe somebody famous.
Okay.
Okay. There's no way that I could have known this, right? You didn't tell anybody over the phone. I didn't tell you what to think of. Nothing like that, right?
No.
So there's no way I could know who you're thinking of right now.
Well, we're in California. Are you in Michigan, Rudy?
I'm in New York. I'm
New York. Okay.
Immediately, I'm getting like a very famous singer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also getting that you thought of an actor, but the actor is a little bit more obscure. Like, it's a name that you wouldn't think that I would know that I could actually know. Would that make sense to you?
Maybe.
Maybe? Okay. So we're going to
I think he's pretty well known, but I guess.
But he's from South Africa.
and the sounds that I'm hearing in my head from what you're thinking right now, I don't know if I know these people. I might know. Wait, I'm getting something to do with Whitney Houston. Does that make sense? But I know it's not Whitney Houston that you're thinking of. Was that Whitney Houston's ex?
No.
Oh, wow. Something similar? No, who is this? Just think it. Just say it over and over in your head. Who's? I'm getting... Okay, no. This is somebody further back, like an older singer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm getting more like a blues kind of singer. Is that right?
Kind of,
or like a blues kind of rock kind of thing. I'm not quite sure, and my music knowledge is not so good. But I'm getting just say the name over and over in your head, like James Brown. Is it James Brown?
It is James Brown.
Oh my God!
And then you change your mind. You were going to think of somebody else. You were going to think of an actor. Don't tell me what you're thinking of. I'm also getting the actor's a male. Is that right?
Yes.
Is it more like an Italian kind of origin? This guy.
I can see where you think that.
Is that Vincent D'Onofrio?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Thank you very much, Rudy.
Okay, we should be talking. It's radio.
Wow.
But I think we just want, like, radio silence.
Well, I'm going to go and not sleep for a few days.
Oh, my God. That was really impressive.
Thank you.
Like, unbelievably impressive. Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow. Wow, I wouldn't have known that Vincent D'Onofrio.
D'Onofrio?
I don't know it. I know the name. I've heard it before, but I don't know.
So when did you know that you had the special gift?
Since I was about 4 years old, I believed I had healing ability, so I could actually take away people's pain by touching them or by putting my hands over them. And as I got older, I was very interested in magic, and I studied magic for quite a while. And then I got more into the mental or spiritual side of magic, which is what you witness here today. In fact, I go on radio, and while you're at home and I'm in the radio station across the telephone, I make your spoons and forks bend in your home.
Oh, my goodness.
I make your light bulbs burst, your TV switch on. I even make your car switch off while you're driving on the highway.
Could you not do that?
Yeah. I could not do that to you.
Okay. Wow. That's amazing.
So I was always a student of magic and I loved it so much. But when I got into the mental or spiritual side of magic, which is what I call mentalism, I felt that really touched people in a special place in their heart, that they went, what is that? That's not a trick. That's something else. What is that? And if that is possible, what else is? What am I able to achieve in my life? I'd find people asking themselves. And I'd say, you know what? I believe as spiritual beings, we have infinite capabilities to achieve anything we want in our life.
Fantastic.
We have to take a quick break. Wow, that was absolutely amazing. Rudy, you want to stay with us or do you have to go?
I got to go put my daughter to bed.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. That's Rudy Valdez. He made The Sentence, and you can watch it on HBO. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Rudy, thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for coming on Gervie's Law. Listen, Carrie, I actually have to go too because Hudson's going on the ice now.
Okay.
So I'm still in awe. My jaw's dropped here. Right here at the Staples Center, there's 15,000 other people here who are really amazed. I wish they could hear this right now. But we'll have to have Larry back on when I'm in studio. Thanks so much for being with us. And we have one more segment. Carrie, you're
in control. Yes, I'll take it. All right, you have fun.
You bring it home.
Okay.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Bye, Alan.
See you guys.
Bye. You're listening to Gervie's Law at 790 KVC. We'll be right back.
The Epson EcoTank printer, available at your local Staples, comes with up to 2 years of ink right in the box. That's up to 2 years worth of reports and proposals. Up to 2 years of not running out of ink when you need to print 5 copies of a report for a meeting starting now. And during Staples printing event, save $100 on the Epson EcoTank 4750. Plus, trade in your old printer and get another $50 off. Up to 2 years worth of ink and no hassle printing. Now at Staples. Offer ends 10/2018.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Have you tried that trendy new dating app? You can have months of frivolous fun with people who just love to play games. But if you're ready for something more grown-up, try the Match app. Over 30,000 new people a day are heading to Match for grown-up conversations that lead to great dates and beyond. Our listeners that go to Match.com can start for free today. View photos and informative profiles to get a deeper sense of the people you'd like to meet. Start for free today at Match.com. That's Match.com.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Alan is no longer with us, meaning he is at the game. He's not dead. He's actually at Staples Center. That sounded really bad. I wanted to clarify that. Real quick, I am Carrie Kasem, and we hope that Hudson, Alan's son, does well on the ice. He's so cute. He's in between, you know, the Kings playing hockey. They have all the little kids come out in their jerseys and skates and play a little bit. It's adorable. So we wish him all the luck in the world. I'm still here with Larry Soffer, world-renowned mentalist, friend of mine. Also, our producer, Debbie. Debbie is here. Wayman's here. We've got Nico in the studio. And Sinette. Sinette happens to be Larry's wife. So there's a bunch of people here. Larry's been absolutely amazing us. And if you want to, we've been filming and recording in the studio. So if you take a look at Gervie's Law on Facebook or Instagram and possibly Twitter, the video will be up so you can check this out because it's mind-blowing. And for anybody else that wants to check out Larry Soffer, go to YouTube, type in Larry Soffer, S-O-F like Frank, F like Frank, E-R, Larry Soffer. It will blow your mind. So, you were going to do one more thing for us.
Totally, yeah. Okay. Do you guys believe in coincidence?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, what I believe that coincidence is, and I do believe in it as well, but what I believe that it actually is that we make a decision for something to happen, and then the world around us actually aligns with that decision, and things just fall in place. Do
okay.
you guys believe that?
Yeah. Sure.
So we're going to try a game of coincidence over here.
Okay.
And first of all, Carrie, so I don't want you guys to think of any number at all in your mind, okay? I don't want you to think of any number because I don't want you to think that I'm influencing your thoughts in some way or the other. And maybe some people could think that I would influence your thoughts. So I'm just going to open up my clock app over here. And Debbie, you can see that I actually have like a little wheel. This is like a timing app. And if I just spin it over here, It goes to a random number, right?
Right.
Okay. So let's just put it back to zero. Okay. Look, if I just... let's just go out of this again. Sorry, something's froze on the app here. So we'll just go back into it. Okay. So if I just spin this little wheel over here, you can actually see that it lands on a random number. If you spin it again, you'll see it lands on another number. In fact, it landed on 26 over there, right?
Now, I can't see because there's screens in front of me. So have I seen this one before?
You haven't seen this
haven't.
Before.
No, okay.
Yeah. 26. So you can see it says 26,
yes,
right? Yes. So Debbie, give the Wheel of Fortune another spin. And it's spinning and it lands on 10, right? And why don't you give it another spin just for good luck? Okay, now it's 28. So we had three random spins. Are you happy with the number of 28?
I'm so happy with it.
Okay, good. So at the same time, we got you to think of a playing card. And the playing card was?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
When I way before?
Yes.
That was a three of hearts.
Three of hearts?
Yes.
Now, Debbie, I have this pack of cards over here that's been sitting here the entire time. I haven't touched it, right? It's inside the box. Can you take the cards out of the box for me, please?
Oh, wow.
That's great. And you can keep them in your hand. And I want you to count the cards into my hand face up. And you chose the number 20. Was it 28?
Yes.
It was 28. Okay,
yes.
Cool. Okay, Debbie is a little bit mesmerized by
like,
all of
what's
this.
What's happening here?
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to put my hand over here. You're going to count the cards face up. You chose the card.
Three of hearts.
Three of hearts, and you chose the number 28. Okay, this was totally random, and we said that we all believe in coincidence.
Yes.
Let's see if this happens. Count the cards face up in my hand. That's one. That's two. That's three. You guys can keep counting with me. That's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Stop right there. No three of hearts, right? There's a three of clubs,
right?
But no three of hearts.
Correct.
So it's 11, 12, 13, 14, a little bit faster, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. No three of hearts. Three of diamonds, but no three of hearts.
Right, right.
And there's a whole bunch of other cards in between, right? So we're at number 20 now, right? So let's get another eight more cards. If this happens, this would be crazy,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Like everything.
So it's 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. Stop right there. If the 28th card is the three of hearts,
yeah, that'd be
this
crazy.
Would be insane, right?
That would
right?
be crazy.
Check
Are
it out.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
It is!
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, so we're putting
wow.
this up on the website. We're filming everything. So, yeah, you've got to check this out. Go to Facebook.
Oh, my goodness.
And check out Larry Soffer and what he did in the studio. Also, the fact that we had a guest on, if you missed this, we had a guest on the first half of the show, Rudy Valdez. He's a first-time filmmaker, and he did The Sentence for HBO. We kept him on the phone with us. And Larry, you read his mind. He thought of two different things. He thought of James Brown and...
Was it Vincent
D'Onofrio?
D'Onofrio, something like that?
An actor, yeah. And just over the phone read his mind. And that is on the iPhone right now. And we're going to put it on... I'm blown away.
Well, this is the kind of thing that I do. I go around to company parties and private parties and entertain at corporate dinners, gala dinners, product launches, private parties for... Yeah,
Prince Harry,
yeah.
Jay-Z, Beyonce, etc. We have to go, but you've performed for the biggest celebrities on earth. Thank you for coming here. We're humbled
thank you.
By
thank
you.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's been fun.
Thank you
thank
so
you
much.
Thank you for having me. I'm
yeah.
humbled to be here, so thank you so much.
Great.
You have been listening to Grimmy's Law. We'll be back next week. Have a good one.